Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to this review from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
What's all right, chocolate? Dubai style chocolate.
Dubai style.
Like, what makes it Dubai style besides coming from Dubai?
Is this like
milk chocolate?
Is this like champagne?
With pistachio? No, it's just called Dubai style chocolate. It is pistachio paste filling and crunchy. Oh, I'm gonna butcher this. Kadifi, Kadayif.
Kadayif.
I know Crumble Cookie was promoting like Dubai chocolate in their brownie recently, and apparently my daughter loves Crumble Cookie. She goes there like every week and gets Crumble Cookie stuff, and she was really disappointed that sold out.
It's a crazy overpriced bakery that does like weekly specials of cookies.
Yeah, we got one up here next to Target. Actually, there might be another one up by North Crest. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Next to the Target.
Next to the place no one goes to anymore.
That's kind of what happens when you roll back your DEI and, you know.
Yeah,
and you
become an idiot. Anyway.
Dumb choices.
Yeah.
That's for you guys.
But hi, y'all.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
I'll be honest. It's Linden chocolate, so it's like not the worst thing I've ever had. It was made in Germany, but it's Dubai style.
Joey looks like he's trying to see what Chuck is holding.
The Dubai chocolate.
No, he is
I'm gonna say 3.32 chocolatey bars out of 5.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
How many spawn capes is that?
We don't do spawn capes with food, Chris. Oh. That would be silly.
Oh.
Now, however,
how many Michelin tires would you give it?
Probably 2.
Oh, okay.
However, this is a Nutty Buddy oatmeal cream pie that's been dipped in fucking chocolate. This got me fucked up crazy style, boys.
Say, that sounds like a diabetic shock in a bag.
Dude, hello, welcome to Chuck Shows Us Delicious Foods While We Can't Eat Them.
Yeah, this, no joke, is a third of this is like 130 calories.
Yes! Jesus!
With no joke, I think it was like 16 grams of sugar for the third. So, times that by 3.
Who eats just a third of a oatmeal cream pie? You can't. Why?
Well, I don't know. It depends on if you get it all over her face or just in her mouth, I guess. But
I knew he was going to do it. I'm sorry. If I bump set, he's going to spike.
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
it is Ron.
Look, first off, Joey's the one that set that up. Okay, you just passed it to Joey, and Joey fumbled.
He said he did say bump set.
Yeah, I bumped. Oh, yeah. He said he's spike. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't.
Chris
I don't
is just standing there, not sure.
He's a tennis volleyball.
I know
it's volleyball.
I know.
Jesus,
that was kind of. Never mind.
Anyway.
So,
brothers, sisters, gender resistors, welcome to another episode of the Comic Book Now Presents Rundown Reviews. I, of course, am the man who's doing this introduction. I am Chuck, and I am joined once again by the CEO, editor, supreme ruler, and reptilian overlord, and more importantly, my best friend when it comes to just Twisted Metal specifically and nothing else, Joey. Because I'm contractually obligated to show up. And also my other real best friend, who's mine and nobody else's, Chris is here with Ron. Y'all, that must mean that we watched a Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
That we watched correct. Star Trek Insurrection.
That is correct. From 1998.
Yeah.
Good old 98.
Yeah. Wow, this was right before Picard lost the use of his legs.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So it took a couple years after Generations. Yeah. After the rock, like the rocks falling on him, just kind of.
It's a pinched nerve deal, I think, you know.
Well, you know, he went to this planet and the rock, you know, the nerves went back to actually feeling good. And then once he left, the nerves finally, like, went away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Choices were made.
Right. One of the choices they made was, what the hell was up with the Sona faces? Like, what the serious shit was going on with that? Like, it looked like Leatherface had learned how to make a better mask. Like,
that's what happens when you spend too much time outside and you keep on basting.
But it didn't even look like it was
real best friends, really. Anyway, sorry. That was a choice. And
there are a lot of choices. Well,
when I first saw that, yeah. I thought that they were wearing masks. I did not realize that was actually their skin. I thought
And I wanted them to actually take off that skin and just see what happened. That's
right,
what was the first time I saw it. I said, oh, we're going to finally see what they look like. Oh, man, they're just going to keep stretching it out.
Yeah, because there were times when they were, like, stretching it over their head that they had the flaps up.
Now, what do they call that when they tie their skin? Is that, like, a skin bun or something like that?
Maybe.
Oh, no, it's called a facelift, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's like a real thing. It's like a real thing they were doing.
That's an extreme real thing they were doing with that real thing.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know if you've ever been to California, but if you go to any Club Med related thing, their faces are so tightly pulled against their skulls. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Like the bug on Men in Black?
Yeah, pretty much.
No expression either.
I don't know if you know this.
This is Mafia's character? Yeah.
It works kind of like that very specific type of cloth that they would hang in gymnasiums during like high school proms that you'd have to put up there, and it would slowly like stretch itself down more. So then they'd have to pull it up, and then like you had to get it up there like 3 days in advance. Otherwise it would droop too low and then it'd be a fire hazard. So they themselves are fire hazards if they don't pull their skin back.
Which makes sense because they were
and only they can prevent forest fires.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because they were having their faces stretched out like every couple of days or so. So like they had to keep doing it every couple of days, which I don't know, kind of sucked for them.
Yeah. Also,
but speaking of skin though, like this is Chris. This took place 2 years after the First Contact?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think because Admiral Daughtry, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Vice Admiral Daughtry or whatever.
Yeah, he made mention of it being 24 months. That the Borg, and then he made mentioned a couple other, whom I'm assuming was people from like Deep Space Nine. And
which made it interesting. Like you had Frakes back as directing. You had like two very popular writer from DS9. I'm still wondering what the heck happened.
I mean, so
I liked it. I didn't think the movie was terrible.
Here's the thing. I don't remember terrible. This. Yeah. I don't remember why. Like I remember watching it as a kid. I remember it not being great. It still isn't great, but I didn't have a terrible time with it. Like it wasn't I went into it expecting it to be a terrible movie, but it wasn't. Like it wasn't First Contact, but it also wasn't Star Trek the movie.
No,
like,
you're right.
Yeah, it wasn't First Contact, but it wasn't also anything that had the original Star Trek cast in it. So,
yeah,
I think there was just. I think especially in that third act where they just basically are trying to run away.
Yeah,
it's just like that. Just kept on getting. I think go back to Space Battle. At least that was more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they made some choices that I don't know if it was Jonathan Frank's choice.
There was
or
a
if it
really
was just
good
like,
choice and a really bad choice that were made in this movie. The really good
choice.
I can
already guess what your good choice is.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. What was my really good choice, Chris?
I would say something, two people in a bathtub together.
Perfect, because that also brings in the really bad choice that was made, which was Jonathan Frakes shaving his face. After he grew in the beard, it just did not look right without, like...
It didn't look terrible.
But
like
It didn't look like Chuck
when we saw that one picture on Instagram.
That's fucked up. I was 18
years old in that picture, okay?
I was 18 in that photo, and I was required to shave my face for school. So I did not have a choice.
That's fair.
Also, I was like 300 pounds. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on, you bastard. We're not friends anymore. That, you know what? Ron's number two now. Chris, you're still number one. Never forget that, okay?
Well, look at the thing. Chuck's real best friend, so that's fine.
That's correct, yeah.
But no, it was just because afterwards, like, his smile seemed too big for the rest of his face. Like, I feel like his mustache and his beard kind of hid that. But like afterwards, he was just like, and he seemed kind of crazy.
No, that's what happened to the Vice Admiral Daughtry after his face got stretched.
Yeah.
Also, his face got stretched till he died.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was more his, like, everything got stretched. Like, his whole head got stretched.
If that was what that machine did, then those guys would have died because it would have been impacted.
Oh, no. I think he purposely, he's doing something. I think, what's his name, purposely, like, amped up the process to kill him.
But also, like, speaking of that scene, which, I mean, we're jumping around a lot because this is towards
the end. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. It's fine.
But there is no way that that 300 and something year old toxicity levels are so high that he's going to die. His face is stretched out. Is going to, even beating up an older dude like Daughtry, there's no way that he was going to win that fight so easily. No way. Like, Daughtry didn't even put up a fight at all.
Yeah, but they're 300 some years old, but they haven't really aged.
Like, oh no, they've still aged a whole lot. They've used, like, the one lady was talking about how he had so much toxicity in his body that he wasn't going to live past another, like, month or week or something like that. And
I missed that part. When did they say that?
When she was pulling blood out of him.
That's right. Okay.
And not to mention, if the skin on their face is having to be stretched like that, that means the rest of their body is probably all nasty underneath the gloves and everything that they wear. There's no way
their scrotum is for sure dragging.
Their scrotum looks like when you take down that cloth that Chuck was talking about after prom and scoop it all together in one ball.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Actually, what is on their face is their scrotum skin. Just they had to pull it down.
It's been pulled so far.
Yeah.
Which
is
one they had to cut through eye holes and mouth holes and nose holes.
Uh-huh. It was interesting. It's like, what was it? The main actor for it, F. Abraham. I can't remember. Like, he did
Ruofo or whatever.
No.
The actual actor. That would be F. Murray Abraham, yeah.
Yes, F. Murray Abraham. He's actually a really good actor.
Yeah.
And very accomplished, in fact. And I had totally forgotten until I saw the cast list. Oh, dang, that was him? Well, everyone's got a mortgage to pay.
Paycheck's a paycheck.
Yep.
Yeah. There was a couple couple people in this where I was like, it feels, half of them feel like they're collecting a paycheck. And the other half felt like they were just excited to hang out with their friends. And they were not going to... Either way, nobody was taking this movie seriously.
Yeah. Especially when you start to... The whole debate of the Prime Directive, like saying, we do not interfere with other things. Oh, well, they're not indigenous to this world, so that's how we can...
that's the workaround.
That's the loophole in this one. Oh, but wait a minute. We can't really interfere because really it's a tribal thing. So yeah, you can't do that. It's like, okay, we're just finding a loophole. Do you just say that you're just going to make it better for yourself, make up anything you want, like government, you know, even the Federation and it's high and mighty utopian philosophy. We still got corruption. Imagine that after all these movies.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I like the Orville.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nestle Crunch.
Well, that too.
So I do have to wonder though. So like, Kirk was never known
to follow like Prime directives. No, he was putting babies in all the
Right, he was just doing whatever he wanted to, and then being like, "Well, yeah. I guess I'm gonna get court-martialed. I'll go deal with it." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
He was like, but "My prime directive is to dip my wick in anything that'll, hold a flame.
Allow him to. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. So, but like Picard seems to be really
Why
hard
did you pronounce
on like
his name like that.
What do you mean,
Pecan?
No, Picard. That's his name, Captain Picard.
Picard.
I think it might be like a northeastern dialect. I don't know.
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, how did you say it?
Picard.
Yeah, Picard. Yeah, I'm not hearing a different.
Okay, so imagine his name was spelled with an I instead of an E A. Picard.
I'm not hearing a difference here, guys. So Picard is like, I guess he is at least. This is what I liked. He tries to at least follow the rules, but he will like skirt them accordingly, kind of. But he is like at least a little bit about it. He also at least does try to like have a long-term relationship with girls occasionally. Like he was kind enough and waited. You know what I mean? It wasn't almost until the end of this movie, and he was willing to commit a whole vacation with her,
which is almost a year
that we never hear from ever happening ever again. It was just like, yeah, he probably forgot.
Also, what I love about Picard versus over Kirk is that he wants to actually take his vacation, which is great. He's not getting burnt out.
Don't buy it for a second. I don't buy it.
Well, he's saying that now while he is here on a planet that is like making him younger.
Exactly. Like he's saying, "Oh, I'm feeling good.
Come back, spend almost a year there to where he could get back into his,
youthfulness,
20s, 30s, banger for as long as he can while he's there. And then be like, hey, I'll be back on my next shore leave."
Yeah, super fair. I mean, at least he's doing it the right way. Yeah. That's the important thing.
That's where you're trying to get at. Yeah. Sure.
Well, he's not Kirk.
Right, he's not Kirk. I agree.
How do you pronounce Kirk's first name?
Tobias?
Tobias Tuberculosis Kirk?
That's his middle name.
How do you pronounce William Riker?
William Riker.
There it is. Yep, okay.
Yeah, I'm not hearing a difference.
Yeah, you got it in one.
All right, what's the doctor's name?
Which one was the doctor?
Beverly Crusher.
Oh, Beverly Crusher.
Oh, Crusher, okay.
Yeah, I think it's just a northeastern United States thing, like New York.
Yeah, we say coffee, not coffee.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
it's tearing this country apart.
Did you dip down too far?
Fucking Picard over here, fucking guys.
So I brought up the 2 year difference because in those 2 years, why did Data go back to his android skin and not keep his human skin?
He didn't have human skin.
Yeah, it burned off. Remember,
he
left off.
But did he not go back to it though? Like, did he
rip it off someone else's skin?
I mean
that would be entertaining. I would see a movie based on that.
This would have been the movie where he could have taken somebody's skin and worn it.
What I'm saying.
Hey, you aren't using that, are you?
That admiral ain't using it anymore.
Free skin. Okay,
but yeah, that was my first notice that I hated those guys' faces, and I didn't understand why they were. Anyways,
my first one was the very Truman Show, like when the crew of the two ships are watching the planet. It's like, okay,
yeah, okay, wait, they built a station in the
without
mountains
without their knowledge, like
without
how?
Anybody ever noticing. Yeah. And then more importantly,
no noise,
and nobody ever saw these people leave this station or anything like that.
Well, they had their suits that they had
made them invisible or whatever. Right. Okay, fine. Also, side part, didn't understand why Data was specifically there. I missed why he was there. All I knew is that he escaped.
I don't know why they actually had Data there either, because he
was Asgard. Chris, do you know? I thought they said it.
I mean, they just said that the Admiral needed him just, I guess, probably for processing power. I don't know, for, you know, going places that others couldn't. But, I mean, if they're all hidden, what does it matter? I mean, he didn't attack them. He was attacked first. My question, I can't remember who they said attacked him. Was it just some random red shirt?
No, it was one of the stretchy face Sona? Guys, the Sona.
Oh, okay.
Because
he found the ship.
Yeah,
he found the hollow deck ship.
Yeah. Anyway, so
which
then
that was
also
a pretty good little burying.
Hey, how do you pronounce Data?
Data.
Okay, just making sure. As we bring up names, we need to ask Chuck.
Data. Yeah.
Again, how do you pronounce your name?
Data.
Okay.
Yeah. fuck. So then Data proceeds to get a phaser, a hand phaser.
His hand phaser.
And can bring down an entire hidden.
He hit all he had to do was hit the nodes that were keeping it the screen up, the invisibility screen.
But he knew where that was?
He's Data, of course he knows where that is.
He's a robot, yeah.
Like, he probably had the schematics inside of his
Also, my boy don't miss. He didn't miss a single shot.
That's actually that's lore accurate. Like, he
Yeah.
Oh, that's like his whole thing is that he is like a crack shot.
He's a super processing computer, like, yeah.
I know, yeah. But I'm just saying, like,
so imagine if you had something that you could automatically project the trajectory of an object to shoot it, or you knew exactly precisely where you had. He even talks about it. He's like, yeah, he's like, my legs have been 182 centimeters since I was made, and they'll be.
Oh, we'll get into pedophile Data in a second here, because it gets a little weird and creepy when he's talking to this kid and wanting to hang out with him.
I think the kid also feels a little weird and creepy as well.
Well, I think the kid is also older than Data is, so.
Yeah, he is,
no.
Actually.
Kid's only 12 years old.
Oh, you're right, because it doesn't start taking effect, they said, until.
Right.
Like, yeah. The maturity or whatever.
Well, I meant because Data's only how many years old?
Carry the one. I think he's like
count for pi.
Yeah,
what, 12, 14, 16? I don't know. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, data
8675329099.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway,
I like how they keep borrowing Worf for these movies, though, to make sure that they have the whole cast still. Like the first one, he was on his own ship, and they teleported him over. This one, they're like, oh, tell Deep Space Nine we're borrowing you for an extended, trip. And
yeah.
I'm interested to see how it's going to be in the other ones.
Was he like a full-time cast member on Deep Space Nine?
By that point, yes.
Interesting. Okay. I enjoy the idea that he's a Klingon, yeah? Mm-hmm. That Klingons apparently don't go through puberty until later in their life?
Yeah.
Is that what I was supposed to understand?
Yeah. Well,
no, because they're everybody's regressing, right? Everybody's getting younger?
Okay, but that was happening
before they got there.
When they got into the orbit. Maybe. Like, once they got into the Briar Patch, that's when everything started happening.
I thought they pointed out the pimple before that.
And he slept in instead of being on the deck before he was supposed to be there. This was something he was going through prior to being at the planet.
I don't think it was.
How do you pronounce pimple?
Papel.
Okay.
How about Worf?
That's still Worf.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Worf over here. I'm not hearing a difference, guys. Okay. I'm telling you.
Never gets old.
Never gets old. I don't know if you know this, Chris. I love a bit.
Yes, that's very true.
You never know.
Did anybody else think that they overused the CGI in this, though?
Oh, CGI was terrible.
Well, it wasn't just not being bad, but like they used it for like animals.
Whoa. Let's slow down on how terrible this looked after we just watched Spawn.
That's true. This does look like a gem.
Gajillion times better. There was some stuff that wasn't great. I'll agree. The drones that would magically I thought they were literally vaporizing people. I didn't realize that they were teleporting people. I was like, wow, they're just capping people left and right here like it's nothing. I'm very confused what's happening.
Did you realize that they weren't killing them once they got P-card?
Yeah. I thought it was very strange. It didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, one of the reasons it was so bad is it wasn't Industrial Light and Magic. They were doing a little movie called Star Wars Episode One, so they couldn't do their movie, so they had to contract out to two separate studios. Thankfully, not the same studio that did Final Frontier. You know that cinematic gem that I chose not to appear to. That Joe still holds against me, but Chuck defends me to this day.
Look, Joey never said that you were a coward on
camera.
Yeah, everything Joey said was off air. Heinous things.
Look, I just know how to edit. I'm the one editing this stuff. That's all I'm saying.
You ever seen that part of Deadpool 3 where Ryan Reynolds is talking about all the things that Chris Evans said?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sounds
yeah,
right.
But again, there's no camera to show what I said. So, ha!
Ah!
That's true.
I win! Anyway. But speaking of the drones, though, why didn't they use the drones the first go around?
The only reason why they had to use the drones was because they couldn't
plot device.
Yeah, because they couldn't teleport them in mass like they wanted to because of the blockers.
Well, yeah, but they had to that's what I'm saying. Like they couldn't teleport them. They wanted to teleport them in mass, so they're trying to destroy the blockers, which forms gaps in the holes, but the gaps that they formed, instead of teleporting the blocks, they're teleporting randomly, which was also a little weird. That didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm not even sure what you just said. So
it seemed like they destroyed a blocker over here, but there's still a blocker over here, and yet somehow they got people.
Oh, so there's no overlap, like, you know. They didn't set up the blockers with any overlap, so that way, if they took out one, they could take out all the people underneath that one. You know,
but it doesn't
make any sense, Joey.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is once they found out the blockers were there and they couldn't destroy all the blockers, why not send the droids out then, immediately instead of sending them out later? Other than plot device.
Well, they said it would take them a while to get those ready. And maybe they thought they'd have a faster way prior to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Look, I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
All I'll do is ask questions.
You know what the real question is? Why did Picard keep that headpiece on for so long?
Because it was at a dance. And
You can't
make sure he have hair. This is a way for him to remember when he did have hair.
You know what I think it was? I think that old lady that handed it to him, that wasn't a real thing. They just wanted to see what they could get away with doing to this captain, like this famous captain of the Federation.
She was 12 years old. Old? What are you talking about? She was 12.
What?
Everyone's young in this.
But anyways.
I didn't really understand why they even had to bring them in.
Just to show that they were doing, that's why they had the fancy suits on.
No, I know. It just seemed weird.
So they were. This was part of the. They're bringing in new members in the Federation because of the Borg, because of all those other attacks on the Federation. They're losing. That's what they said. I thought.
Yeah, it's what they said. But then when they said it, it sounded ridiculous. Oh, okay, we're gonna bring in someone who just discovered warp capabilities because they're losing to people like the Dominion, the Borg, the Cardassians, Rumblings. Okay, what are they gonna do right now against them?
Oh, I mean, look, they're trying to.
It's called pawns and chess.
You put them up front.
They need somebody. That's what they said. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. But like I said, I laughed when they first said it.
Not great choices. It's just
no.
It's great.
So when they are making their escape, and they're going through those tunnels, and they're like, "Oh, do you guys sense that behind the wall over here?" And then they blast the wall out, and they blast a perfect doorway into that tunnel wall. When all three of them shoot it at the same time and just blast a hole in it or whatever.
Sure, makes sense.
Right? But it was okay to do that. But then afterwards, when everything came down on Picard and... what was that lady's name? Doc Ock's wife.
Oh, that was Doc Ock's wife.
It was.
That's also...
Mother Gothel.
Mother Gothel, yeah.
Yep.
Anij is her name. Anij.
Yeah, that person. Anyway. But then they're like, "Oh no, we can't blast because it might cause a cave-in," and it's like, you guys are.
Well, but you have to remember at that point, the Sona had just been blasting the mountain, so everything has become unstable.
True.
That's why they had the cave-in.
Oh, I already covered that point too.
Yep.
Sorry, I haven't noticed this is the Admiral's a little bitch, and I forgot that I had already talked about that earlier.
So yeah, he kind of was.
I had to mark that off.
Yeah.
Like he was just an absolute piece of shit. Like, I'm sorry, but with how Starfleet is supposed to be, the Federation, how did somebody like that get that high in the Admiralty without
As Emily liked to say when she was in the army, if the wrong people don't dot their I's and cross their T's, they can move up the ranks very quickly. So there you go.
Well, as we kind of like learned, they like encourage people to not actually follow the rules. Like prime directives and stuff.
Now, was that actually
their guidelines?
Was that actually something that he was an actual order for him, or was he just saying that so that Picard would leave so he can continue getting what he wanted?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it is part of their prime directive. So again, he was just finding a loophole within it.
But that's what I'm saying, though. But he told, because like at one point in time, he's like, I'm actually on orders from, you know, the Federation.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I mean, sure, you might have been for something, but like they definitely weren't telling you, "Oh, just wipe out these people, it's fine to do what these guys want to do."
Yeah, I mean, definitely plausible. We don't trust him anyways, so
I mean, that's fair.
Never trust a man who pulls a scrotum up on his face, guys. I mean, come on, that's just 101. Never trust a scrotum, man. Am I right, Chris?
I mean, you said it, so I mean, it has to be true.
It's canon. Yeah, it's on the show.
It's canon. Yeah.
Shit.
Listeners, let that be your lesson for the day. Never trust a man with a scrotum on his face.
Okay. Yep.
It's Chris. Hey, Chris brings it out of me.
Chris brings the scrotum out on your face. Oh, yeah, now I see why he's the real best friend. Okay.
That's right. Because real friends put their friend's scrotum on their face. All right? That's called friendship. Maybe you two should be putting each other's scrotums on your face a little bit more, huh? Maybe a little bit closer. You ever think about that?
We haven't. We've had weird parties.
I'm just saying, more often. If Ron's, you're not doing enough of Ron's questioning it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
What the hell happened in this episode?
So I did not take a lot of notes because I...
Yeah, I didn't.
I was actually watching the movie and like...
Wait a minute, people take notes in this thing?
We do. We've been taking notes since the first episode.
Yeah.
That's just what we do. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I only one time took notes for an episode, and that was Star Wars Episode 3. And it got me nowhere, so I stopped doing it.
But when Picard is on the like collector thing with Ruafo, whatever his name was.
I don't know what his name is. Yeah,
Scrotum number one. and like, you know, they're fighting back and forth, and then he's like, The one dude's like getting ready to shoot Picard, and Picard's like, oh, so you're gonna chance blowing up like the whatever is in the atmosphere, and the guy like puts his gun down, and Picard's like, that's fine, I will blast him off the side. That was great, but it wasn't as good as right before the whole thing blows up, Picard just disappears. Like, he should have just thrown up like a before he walked, like before he got shot up there, just flipped him the bird. Oh. Because that's basically
I really hope that that's the screenshot that gets used for YouTube. I know it won't be, but the screenshot of you throwing up the bird, it won't be. But
oh, I particularly love it in that fight and that in the big fight sequence. It's nothing but blue behind him. So, oh wow, we just basically ran out of money, and so just said, yep, we're just gonna keep the blue screen and not do anything with it. We're not even gonna bother putting stars. Sorry, we ran out of money.
So bad. So something.
Yeah. No. It. I don't know.
Like, they couldn't even gotten like a black sheet with like white paint splattered on it, like a high school theater department would do for a starry night.
Well, no, they spent it all on the CGI animals. creature that one kid had to go back into the cave to go get.
Right. They had to spend it all on the scrotums.
That was
his real scrotum on his face.
I was assuming that like that little creature was going to be some kind of loophole where they could be like, oh, there's sentient life on this planet. Like, that's why we can't destroy it. But it was
now
like,
you're thinking like the Federation Council. I like that. See, you're getting it.
Well, and I just thought that was going to pay off more than just the reason why the kid needed to run back. And therefore, I don't know. It didn't really, I guess they were trying to build suspense.
I guess.
Was that the theory of all that?
Well, it was he could kill Picard and Amage, or I don't know.
And bring bring Kirk back for one last battle.
But they make it through. It doesn't separate anybody.
It separates out Kirk and Amage.
Donna Murphy
was.
It did.
Doc Ock's wife.
Oh, yeah, they got.
That's when the cave-in happens, they have to dig them out.
Oh.
Which
and then Data and Worf immediately just start lifting like nothing, throwing
we know
rocks.
That Data is strong because like that's also been canon throughout like the entire series and the movies.
Oh yeah.
Now Worf on the other hand is only supposed to be just a little bit stronger than a regular human, I thought, and yet he's still picking up boulders that are like.
Yes, but he's younger. He's in a. Did he have like a rage, his uncontrollable rage at this moment? Because wasn't he like fighting the droids or whatever, or the drones? And he was talking about having the uncontrollable rage?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
I don't remember him turning like green or anything.
His balls dropped.
Well, but like he had the adrenaline, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Chuck's like, right. His balls were dropping, so he had to prove himself.
Yeah, his balls were dropping, and so his testosterone was just.
He was around a bunch of girls. He had to show off. Okay, it makes sense now. It's fine.
Yeah. Had that beautiful long hair that grew overnight. I'm jealous.
Slowing.
Right? Just like.
He's using that Maybelline.
He's always had long hair, though, because it's always been in a braid.
Yeah.
He just didn't have it in the braid.
Well, he had the braid over the shoulder, not over the back. Like,
yeah.
Up or whatever.
Oh, I guess I never realized that.
Yeah. Well, you were never behind him. He was always behind you.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's true. Ribs for my pleasure. That forehead.
I don't really have anything else. Chuck, you wanted to talk about Data raping the boy or whatever?
What?
Oh, he was just really creepy. Like, he was just creepy about it. It's like... Okay. I know that Data is a robot, but you would think that Data also would be programmed to, like, know certain social cues, and just, like, hanging out with a kid is weird. Well, but it was very autistic of him to not be aware of, like, his social cue, which then I just realized that Data is just, like, the representation of autism for the Federation, I guess. You know what I mean? Like they, you know, they got to get one of everybody, and Data is like the autistic guy, I guess. Like, I don't know. It was just super weird. He was just like, he just took a real interest in the kid, and like he kind of ends up like grooming him to like make him be his friend. I've been watching a lot of weird documentaries.
I was about to say, what are you watching?
I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately about stuff, and it's just like, yeah, it's weird. It was just like a weird, and like in the lens of 2025, if I was that kid's dad, I'd be like, I don't really like how you interact with my child. It's kind of goofy. Maybe it's just me.
I think it's just you.
I'm not entirely sure.
How
would you feel if a robot was hitting on your kid, man? You know what I mean?
I don't think he was ever hitting on him.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Are we sure about that?
So have you ever seen, what's that movie with the...
They were literally rolling in the hay. Together.
And the evidence... Two different haystacks.
Two different haystacks.
Well, that's how it ended. Also, I did like how this movie actually opens with like an Assassin's Creed tutorial video of like how to like hide in like haystacks and run around, and also
See, I thought it was very strange because it definitely wasn't an Assassin's Creed tutorial video, because all of their controls still worked and you weren't like randomly jumping off the side of a building and killing yourself. So
that one guy did when he was coming down the mountain. I don't know if you guys saw that. They cut away really fast, but there is definitely what looks like one of the stuntmen tripping and like fucking taking it down the mountain.
Oh, that's another one for the list.
Yeah. I mean, I have another one on here that I saw.
Oh,
on
there's this, a couple. There's a couple. That
was
I'm
it
just
the
like,
dude
oh.
that Jordy had to put out with the fire extinguisher?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude got lit on fire for real. It was awesome.
I mean, do we want to go into our Stuntman Die segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, we have the crew member who was caught on fire.
Yep.
Add that to it. Obviously, apparently, the guy who tripped down the cliff. So that's right awesome. There. Trip down cliff. Where was the other one?
It was dude lit on fire. Dude who fell down the cliff. Maybe there was only two. I feel like there was a third one. Maybe it was just the okay. two.
That, I mean, as of right now, that brings us to a total of 10 so far when we started this dang. Count.
Yeah, we started this like 6 movies ago.
Yeah, dude.
Like, we got more stuntman deaths than we do movies.
Almost. We're getting there.
It's getting crazy. Oh, I love this.
Love it.
Great segment.
Love it. Well, okay then. Well, you guys have anything else you want to mention? I
know who my not a Muppet is.
Oh, we're not there yet.
I know, but you said anything else to say. You didn't say on topic. I just
true,
to say
true,
something.
True, true.
Yeah, let's just do this. Okay. Joey, what's our kill count?
Kill count was a 6. Not a lot of people died since, you know, Alderaan rule and all that. No lost limbs. Although, had they shown Jordy losing his eyes, I would have counted that as lost limbs. But they didn't, like, no, that doesn't, anyway.
That's fair.
Did they explain why they get rid of the visor? Like, was he just really
He had gotten, like,
uncomfortable?
New contact. He had, like, got some, like, contacts that, instead of the visor. Because in the first, in what, Generations, the visor had gotten, like, taken over. Right?
Yeah.
By,
yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, they used it against him, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, he wanted to get rid of it so that something like that wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, he got different implants first contact. And I think it was just because it was an upgrade from what his visor was. But most likely it's because LeVar Burton got tired of wearing that fucking thing on his head.
Yeah, because he did it for like, what, 8 years?
Yeah, and something like that.
One movie. So I was like, yeah,
I'm done. And then after one movie, he got tired of the damn contacts too. And he's like, you know what? Give me my eyes back, motherfuckers.
Basically,
I did enjoy the very slow, like, crying Native American on the side of the road as he was watching the sunrise, or I guess sunrise or sunset.
Sunrise,
happening.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
I actually did like that scene.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was cute. That was nice. I felt a little emotional.
It was very, like, I mean, it almost reminded me of, like, Roots. I know it, Roots in a way.
Because he was in Roots?
Exactly.
Is it kinda. Because he's black, Joey?
Yep, because he's black. Yeah, that's
and
why.
And was in Roots.
And what? Yeah. Anyway, Ron, what we got for bingo?
All right, so we have Government interference, comic logic, hero kills, origin reveal, betrayal by a friend, rejection of destiny, villain monologue, unexplainable science, sexual innuendo, implied nudity, and fight for control of something.
Okay. Two bingos. I like it.
Chuck, what's we got for the Spawn cape?
Are we still calling it Spawn cape since we finally hit Spawn?
Yeah, it's still the Spawn cape. Okay. We now have our control. Yes. We now understand.
The control has now been reached. We can continue to experiment.
Yes, the one of one has been officially crowned. A lot of the special effects looked of its time. Maybe when this came out, it looked cool. It looks kind of dated now. I thought when Scrotum Boy number one was in the holodeck and he finally realizes the holodeck and he like blasts it and it, like the way it dissipates and stuff looked kind of weird. They also run out of money with the special effects and that looks really bad too. And the drones looked not great, you know, nowadays. I'm going to say it's bad. Not that bad. I'm going to say 13 out of 112.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Somebody do the math on that.
Nah.
Nah.
Too much work.
Why would we? Out of a gajillion, they're pretty close, but not that close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Alright, Chris. What's our Not a Muppet?
Yeah, what you got?
Riker.
Okay.
Obviously.
So
it's
my
too hard not to.
My Not a Muppet was the only Muppets are the Sona and the whatever the other Bakar or whatever the other people were. Like they're all Muppets. Baku, thank you. They're all Muppets. And that's how they should have known that they were the same people. But they didn't find out until the end, you know?
All right,
because I also thought it would have been really funny for them to stretch the like fabric faces. I don't know. But I thought it'd be great.
That'd be creepy.
I'd like the Sona to be Muppets, but they still had the human skin stretched across.
Oh, God. I think I've seen a Leatherface Muppet once, and it looked wicked.
I'm sure. I saw a real human dressed like a Muppet one time. That was also weird.
Okay.
So
I was on a dating
completely off subject. I have a little cage downstairs, like somebody gave me, it was like a decorative piece or whatever, and it had like a little lantern light in it.
I'm really glad you explained that. I was like, wow, we're about to learn a lot about Ron right now. All right, cool.
But, I have a little piece.
It was underneath one of the tables down in my my art room, and something had fallen and like bent the door. And the way it had bent the door, it looked like something had tried to get out of the door. And I'm like, oh, that's what I should do. So I went through and I broke the door up a little bit so I could bend the bars out on the door. So it looked like something was trying to come through. And then Jessica's been having groundhog problems and she recently shot one and she's going to give me the skin for it. So I'm going to make a Labubu out of this. That's what they're called, right? The little dolls.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make a Labubu. Yeah. I'm going to make a face out of clay. And then, like, make the furry body.
What did Clay ever do to you?
Well, no.
Anyway.
I'm going to put it, like, put, like, fake blood and stuff, like, coming off it. I'm going to put it inside the cage, like, trying to get out. It's going to be fun.
The whole weekend right there.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'll probably do it over the course of, like, 3 weeks, you know, like, 45 minutes at a time, but. That's what the leather face on a Muppet made me think of.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, that brings us to our scores. So, Chris, starting with you.
Whoa. Chuck's 10. Real best friend, Chris. What's your score out of 10?
Whatever.
That is correct. Yes. Real best friend. Yep.
I'm going to go with 4.32.
Okay.
You know, it was a Star Trek movie. Basically, it was a really, really long episode. A lot of walking, running. It seemed very Lord of the Rings-esque. They went into a mountain.
Yeah, twice.
They had things that looked like Gollum in the
movie.
And they
call it to mine. To mine.
I did think the set design was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Like they did a good job of like the village and stuff. That was yeah. cool. I hope they left it there. They didn't clean it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's in The Hobbit, you know.
Yeah.
Chuck?
All right. Look, is this a Star Trek movie? Yeah, kind of. I guess so.
Maybe.
It's more of a Star Trek movie than anything else. Here's the thing about this movie that I've been holding in. I liked this movie a lot more than I was expecting. Okay. I liked this movie.
I can't
so
wait till he
more.
Sees the next one then.
I liked this movie more than I liked anything else we've watched so far for Star Trek. And here's why.
Interesting.
I was apparently in the mood for a movie where everyone's got a bunch of bits. And everybody had bits in this movie.
That's
Picard just picking on Worf the whole time. Data just being Data. I remember I'm learning more and more that the only thing that didn't help this score was that I also have been watching Alien Earth, which is actually how I like to consume sci-fi. So like I like that version of sci-fi better than whatever this is, right? But the idea, I really am starting to like the idea of androids or like synthetics who don't understand humans and are always trying to learn how humans operate. And the idea that they have all of the knowledge more than any human could ever have, but they don't understand humans because they don't have like feeling feeling or passion or like a moral compass in the sense of like doing the right thing that would necessarily be bad for somebody else instead of just doing the thing that makes the most sense, right? Like robots are always designed to do whatever they're programmed to do. Like, let's do the thing that may be right, but is like this versus like Picard, who is going to do the right thing based on like emotion and things like that. And I'm finding more and more that I find that just a really interesting character for a lot of things that I'm consuming in that way. So yeah, like Data is like a really interesting character to me a lot of the time. He tends to be the standout in the things that I've liked about Star Trek so far.
Okay.
That being said, Picard is a better Kirk. Data is a better Spock. Like I don't even mind Riker. Riker's fine. I don't really know what his role is anymore in this. I guess just second captain or whatever.
That's always kind of his role. His role specifically in this was to get Deanna Troi naked, and he succeeded.
I mean, that was part of his deal to shave off his beard. He had to have a bathroom.
I mean,
scene.
He did pull a Danny and Sandra D move by shaving his face, so he could guarantee that he could get her naked. Which, hey, if that works. Good on him.
I tipped my hat to him.
I mean, good work. Joey, that was a grease.
Yeah, no, I got you. It took me a second. Yeah.
Joey's Italian. He understands grease.
That's true.
Yeah, where?
Huh?
Never mind. What? Just go ahead.
No, like a greasy Italian, Joey.
Yeah, Joey, tell me more. Tell me more. Like, does he have a car? Anyway, listen,
oh, we still wait on Chuck's score.
Yes!
Chris, I don't know if you knew this, but up until the year 2000, all I listened to was the Grease soundtrack.
Oh.
So from 88 to 2000, that's all I listened to. I was obsessed with Grease.
Frankie Valli. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it's great. It's the best. It's my favorite.
It's a good soundtrack.
Grease is the word.
Bee Gees.
And now he's at work and all he hears is Grease, so sizzling,
also true.
Flattering. Yeah.
To an extent. So I really like this. I guess I was in the mood for a movie that had funny little bits. I'm gonna give this a 4.99. It's still a Star Trek movie, and I inherently find it kind of boring, but it got me through my workout because I watched the majority of it on the treadmill.
All right.
And I laughed.
That works. Ron?
I didn't like this as much as I liked First Contact. It didn't have the nostalgia for me because this is the first time I've ever seen this. But it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be based on what I had heard from other people about it. it wasn't that bad. Like I was entertained the whole way through it. I mean, it started off a little slow and kind of boring, but it wasn't a terrible movie. You know, the characters were still who they are like throughout the series. So it wasn't like they made big, you know, like diversions from the characters for this. But there was still development. You know, like Worf going through puberty. Congratulations, bud. Finally, your balls dropped, like Chuck said.
Happy for him.
Yeah. But I mean, I would probably watch this again, not anytime soon, but I would probably put this on again just to, like, maybe just watch it in the background or something while I'm doing something else. I'm going to give it a 5.63.
Okay.
Joey?
Yeah, this is one where, like I said, I've seen it before. I did not remember it at all. Well, what I remembered was Riker not having a beard anymore. I remembered him and him going into the Deanna Troi's quarters and like their little flirting session, and that's really it. Like, that's really the only things I remember from this movie. I don't know why. That's all I remembered from this movie, from when I watched it.
Well, that's easy. That's because that's how he got her naked. That's why you remember it.
Well, yeah, but I didn't remember the part in the tub, though.
Oh.
So, like, why did I remember that one part and him not having a beard, but no other part of the movie? Whatever. But, like, so I would have seen this maybe in 99 when my dad rented it on VHS. Maybe
probably
in 2000.
Was a Blu-ray,
I don't know.
DVD by then.
No, because we were at my old house, which we were still living it. We didn't have a DVD player then. Or did we? Whatever. I'm getting in the weeds here. Yeah, so it was a long time ago. I know I haven't seen it since then. So it was definitely, it's been almost 20 years. It wasn't a bad movie. I was entertained. It's not, like I said earlier, it's not a great movie, but it wasn't a terrible movie. The hell? Sorry.
Divide by four, not three.
No, that's not what I was saying. What the hell for? Oh. Something else popped up. But I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again anytime soon. Like, I don't do Star Trek rewatches like I do Star Wars. But, I mean, it's not a terrible movie.
Why don't we do have the time, you know?
He rewatches Star Wars every year, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but he's probably doing it for a podcast now on him. When's he going to do another Star Trek podcast?
That's fair.
You know?
Wait, you know, why isn't the Geek Ultimate Alliance
on
Star
Trek?
When
would he realistically ever do a Star Trek podcast?
Tuesday.
You know?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Just a random Tuesday.
All right.
For him, anyway, it was a Tuesday.
So I give this one a 4.82. It's not, you know, it's a fun movie. And I wouldn't mind putting it on again, but it's not one I would be like gunning to put on, like, but I wouldn't mind if it's on. I wouldn't like turn it off. Like, I'd sit down with people to watch it if they wanted to watch it, you know, that kind of thing. So with our combined score, that gives us a 4.94, which out of 165 movies drops it in at number 100.
Nice.
Just behind Superman Doomsday from 2007 at a 4.97. And just above Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo with a 4.93.
Yeah, it seems.
I'm okay with that. Accurate. Yeah, it seems like where I would put it.
So yeah, there we go.
I didn't really like Doomsday all that much.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It was fine.
Did I watch Tokyo?
I thought you did.
I'm pretty sure you did, yeah.
Yeah,
that was the one with, like, the ink monster thing.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, like, yeah, it's in a good company of movies that were forgettable that I don't remember watching. Yeah, that makes sense. Chris, are the comic books for Star Trek any better?
Depends who's writing them.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
That's my honest answer. I get a lot.
That's super fair. There was like a couple. There were a couple of comics that were suggested to me from like things that I purchased, and for some reason, one of them was a Star Trek one that had the badge, but there was like blood splattered across it. Hmm. I don't remember what it was called, but it had high ratings. But I figure if it's Star Trek nerds are going to rate it high regardless.
Yeah,
that seems pretty accurate, actually. Yeah. But Chris, where can they find you, bud?
You can find me on all the socials at Chris Balga. You can find me on what Chuck has deemed the only network that matters because it's got me in it at that point. So there, by correct definition, Joe is awesome too. On
association, yes.
But Chuck, by ex facto, you're also awesome because you're also on there.
Yes.
Oh, I definitely bring it down a couple of pegs, for sure. Yeah.
But you can catch me every Thursday night on Marvel Alliance and the Geekverse podcast YouTube channel. It's at 9:10 Eastern Standard Time, and just search for it on any of your podcatchers of choice by searching for Marvel Alliance. As always, it's a pleasure, gentlemen.
Always love to have you on here, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Chuck?
Oh, me? Hey, you know where you can find me? Not only can you find me over on the Geek Ultimate Alliance by reviewing Twisted Metal with Joe, which, hey, at the time that this comes out, the season will be over, and I either thought it was the greatest thing that had ever been made, or I got so unbelievably angry with how stupid the ending was that I will burn the network to the ground.
Please let it be the second one. Please let it be the second one. Please.
But you can check that out. Joey and I are doing Twisted Metal reviews. And then eventually, you know, like a parasite, I will cling to everybody's intestinal tracts on there and just start guest starring on other shows. Who knows? Yeah. You never know what might happen. But more importantly, at the end, the last Sunday of every month, you can find me and Joey doing a little show on this feed, the Comic Rundown feed, called Getting Franchise, the latest and greatest in comic book, and the latest and greatest in movie franchises, where we are reviewing the last bit of the Horror Corner season one, where we're doing nothing but horror movies. At time of release, House of Haunted Hill would have just dropped.
This one will be... House of Haunted Hill will be dropping this month.
We'll be dropping this month, and I love that for us. One of Joey's personal favorites, and then one of my personal favorites, but are they the same? Who knows? Because we reviewed two movies. Of course, the 1952 with Vincent Price. See, I remembered it this time. And the 1999 Ah, son of a bitch. And then the 1999 one, which was with a bunch of people that I couldn't fucking tell. I think Phoenix was in it.
Yes, she was.
That's about it.
Jeffrey Rush, Phoenix. Yep.
Anyway. But it is a classic 90s movie, so it is fantastic. Outside of that, you can find me on the internet, all my hobby-related things, at Kicked Out of the Hobby, no Ian Kick. Ronald, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Good at This Game. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game, and you can also find it on our shirts on TeePublic. You can find me right here where this fantastic podcast is sold. Joey?
You guys can find the show on all of the socials at Comic Book Rundown. You can find the show also on YouTube at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Merch or TeePublic. We've got Rundown... Getting Franchised last Sunday of the month. Comic Book Rundown is back on the last Saturday starting this month. I'm going to be talking about a combination of Booster Gold and Superman. So next week, actually. So that should be fun. Hopefully I'll actually have it done by then. We'll see. I'm a little behind. And then rate and review us. And if you do, we'll read it on an upcoming episode. And then our song was done by Cam.
Cam!
So our next movie maybe up in the air, kind of. Technically, our next one is supposed to be Black Scorpion 2. Now, that being said...
It was nice working with you, Chuck.
No, no. Yeah. So
peace out, everybody.
You're at a one point, one in a quarter.
Black Strikian is coming back, baby. So, hell yeah.
Here's the thing. That being said, looking up where it's at, I can't seem to find it outside of some Russian website. So
oh, shit. Don't click on that.
I haven't yet. It's not on YouTube. Maybe. But we'll see. So if we can't find it, we'll move on to the next one. So just come back next week, and it's either going to be Black Scorpion 2 or something else.
Let's see. What's the something else, Joey? What's the something else?
They'll be surprised. I'll tell you guys off mic.
Oh, okay. Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah. But yeah, so thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Right? Wait. Chris. I was listening to your review of the Spider-Man spoilers.
Yeah.
You guys forgot like one really important character that Spider-Man's probably going to battle in the next one.
The fans?
No, Scooby-Doo.
Oh.